And once again, my wife, Meryl, and I wish you a Merry Christmas. And if you are 10 years old or younger, make your way up here right now. Come on up here. Don't run too fast. Come on up. Come right up here. Come right up here, right to the couch where Meryl and I are, okay? And you have get up just as close as you can, then you can have a seat. Sit down. Sit down as you get up here. Come on. I love it. Oh, yeah. Hey, bring me that baby. There we go. I'll take that little girl. This is my little pokey poke right here. Okay, okay. Maybe not, huh? Okay. All right. Come on up here, kids. Grandmas are welcome. There's already one up here, Marcia. All right. All right. Yay. Yeah. Okay. You know, the other day, how many of you are looking forward to open up Christmas gifts?
Yeah.
Okay. You are? Okay. Well, I asked my grandson the other day, and he told me on Christmas Eve, he gets to open one tiny gift. I said, does that mean you get to open up one bigger gift on Christmas? He said, no, lots of gifts. How many of you are going to get lots of gifts tomorrow, okay? All right. Or tonight? Okay, some of you tonight. Okay, hey, listen. This has been going on a long time, boys and girls. When I was your age, I got lots of cool stuff, too. Lots of cool stuff. In fact, I got a really, really cool red fire truck. And I wish I still had that. And I couldn't decide whether to play with my teddy bear, my guitar, which obviously I never really learned how to play, or my fire truck. But do you like getting cool stuff too?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Christmas is all about getting cool stuff, isn't it?
No.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. In fact, if you would listen, would you like Mrs. Nemers and I to read the Christmas story for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that. Okay. And I want you, now there's two groups of people in this story. And both of them were worshipers. One group were false worshipers, and that means they were bad. They didn't worship the way God would want them. And the other group were true worshipers, okay? And so I want you to follow along as we read the story, and everybody else back there can just listen in, okay? All right, here we go. It's in Matthew chapter 1, and begins in verse 18, where it says, now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name?
Emmanuel.
Pretty close. In this case, it's Jesus, okay? That's another one, though. We'll get to that later. In fact, you're going to hear it in just a moment. You're almost there. Because Jesus means he will save his people from their sins.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus.
Now, after Jesus had been born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, remember I talked about the true worshipers and the false worshipers?
Yeah.
Okay, listen carefully, boys and girls. Listen carefully, boys and girls. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he assembled the chief priests and the scribes and the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born.
They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared.
And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him.'" Do you think Herod wanted to worship Jesus?
No.
Okay. "After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen rose before them and went before them until it came to where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts." At Christmas time, we kind of look forward to getting gifts, don't we?
Yeah.
But what were these wise men giving to Jesus? They were giving gifts, weren't they? And they were, from their treasures, they offered gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Well, boys and girls, was Herod a true worshiper?
No.
Were his friends that studied the Bible true worshipers?
No.
Were the Magi, were the wise men true worshipers? Yes, they were, weren't they? Let's talk more about that, okay? We'll do that after we pray and you go back to your seats, all right? Let's bow our heads and talk to Jesus, okay? Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to just praise the name of Jesus today. Thank you for sending him. And thank you for this great story, the story of Emmanuel, Jesus, who came to save us from our sins. And thank you for the story of the wise men, who indeed were wise, Lord, in spite of the fact that the king was not wise. Help us to understand this better, we pray. And bless all these boys and girls, Lord. I pray that every one of them would receive the gift, not the one they're going to get under the tree tonight or tomorrow, but the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's moms and dads and grandmas said, amen. Amen. Okay, we'll have the lights. God bless you, boys and girls. You can go back to your seats, all right? Well, fewer things invoke childhood memories like Christmas. Would you agree with that? It's certainly true of me. I mean, Christmas time, so many of my memories center around Christmas time. Even Christmas Eve, my brothers and sisters coming in from all over the place, presents like crazy, and the just pile. I remember one year you could barely see the star on top of the tree once all my brothers and sisters got home and all the presents were gathered together. I mean, Christmas was such a huge deal. My brothers and sisters, I was number 8 out of 9, so they used Christmas as a form of manipulation to get me to obey them. I mean, seriously, Santa is watching you. And this would be July. And I can still remember one time we had an attic that was directly above my brother Bobby and I's bedroom. And I can remember my sister Michelle saying, Bobby, come here. Listen, go up to the window. Again, we're talking in the middle of the summer. We put up our heads and ears against the screen. We'd look up and we'd hear, and my brother Mike would have sleigh bells in the attic and he would be shaking them out the window. Right? And we're looking, you know, I'm telling you, I saw Rudolph. The next day they took us around the house and they even placed little bells around the house so that we could find them as if one of those, you know, reindeer dropped one of their bells. This took place all year long. Now, if you're thinking this is an anti-Santa, relax, it's not. Hang in there, okay, folks? We're not going to spoil anything for you make-believers, all right? But all I want to say from that is just the anticipation that would build up was so huge. It's no different for you and your kids. I mean, they're anticipating Christmas. They've all the decorating, the presents and everything are there, and they're waiting for this moment. They're waiting to open those presents. Right, boys and girls? Yeah, you are. Jesus or no Jesus, you're going to open those presents. Anticipation. Well, if you've been with us this last month, we've been talking about, this has been our theme, O come, Emmanuel. And the whole theme of anticipation. We've looked a lot at a guy whose name was Simeon, who was an old man, yet anticipating the coming of Jesus, and was told by the Spirit of God that he would not die before Jesus came. So he got a really good deal. We saw just briefly an old woman who's mentioned in the same text in Luke chapter 2. Her name is Anna. Same thing, anticipating the coming of Jesus. But not everybody was anticipating the coming of Jesus. However, Simeon and Anna were not alone. A couple of years before that, as Jesus came, there was a group of, we'll call them Bible scholars. The Bible refers to them as magi, or wise men. They were from the area of Persia, modern-day Iran. Interesting. And these men were studying the scriptures that they had. Now, we don't know a whole lot about them. We know that they are referred to in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. Remember, Daniel was over these wise men? It's very, very possible that these wise men who came to worship Jesus were descendants of men that Daniel himself had discipled. They had copies of Daniel's writings, the prophecies of the coming of the Christ, and they were following what they knew. Now, they didn't probably know a whole lot, but they had a great lead, did they not? The star that led them. It was no ordinary star. I mean, this star hovered, it moved, it was lower, it was something from God, it was something glorious, it was star-like, or it would not have been called a star. But it wasn't a literal star in the sense that we understand a star. It led these wise men to show up and worship Jesus. Now, we know that it took place after the dedication of Jesus. The story of Simeon takes place in Luke chapter 2, 40 days after Jesus is born. This we know takes place after that, because after this event, the angel warns the wise men to hightail it out of there, and even Mary and Joseph have to make an exit down into Egypt. Remember that? So the wise men come to see Jesus, and by the way, we're told in verse 11 that they come to a house. They're not in a stable anymore, so it's at least 40 days after Jesus is born, and maybe as long as a year or longer. That's just trivia, but it does take the wise men and gets them away from that vision of being there at the stable, because that wasn't the case, was it? But at any rate, we discover four things about these wise men, and they're important for us to take note of. One, they're not local guys. They come from the east. In fact, probably traveled about 800 miles. So it would have taken them at least several months, a couple of them at least, to get there. So this star appeared long before Jesus, well, either before he was born or at the time of his birth. We don't really know. We know it took a long time to get there because they traveled 800 miles. They were a distinguished group. They're called wise men or magi, and I've already mentioned that. These men were students of what prophecy of Scripture they were given, again, probably through Daniel, years and years earlier. And they come, and this is important, they came not just to honor Jesus, but to worship him. You remember when they come to Herod? They say, where is he born king of the Jews? We have come to what? We've come to worship him. Remember that. Because in the end, that's exactly what they would do. And then, again, we've already mentioned they're led by a star. Now, this whole thing causes quite a stir. We read that. all of Jerusalem is stirred, because whenever Herod got excited, everybody got nervous. By the way, they were not probably three, get the vision of three men on camels out of your mind. There probably were camels, but if it stirred all of Jerusalem, it was probably a huge entourage. I mean, a large group of people came in. I don't know if they were all men, but they were, the wise men were amongst them. And it causes all of Jerusalem to go into an upheaval, and King Herod especially. King Herod was a narcissistic megalomaniac. In other words, he was all about himself and all about his personal grandeur. And the very fact that these people would say, another king has been born, we've come to worship him, all Herod heard was, somebody to take my throne away. And anytime Herod was threatened in any way, he pretty much dispatched those people, including wives and children of his own. That's how diabolical this man was. In other words, there was no room in the inn, and there'd be no room on the throne. Not his, anyway. Which is really where a lot of us are at tonight. There's just no room. We sing about it. We read about it. There's something very powerfully symbolic about that in the story, isn't there? Some of us, some of you, have just not made room for Jesus. He's a good idea. But make him your savior, make him your king? Not quite ready for that, are you? Now, Herod was brilliant. He was a builder, he was an architect, but he was no Bible scholar. So, and yet he knew that the very fact that these wise men came to worship the one that was born king of the Jews, he knew that the Hebrew scriptures taught about this king of kings, this Christ that was coming. And so even though he wasn't a scholar, he knew where the scholars were. So he gets the chief priests and he gets the scribes and he gets them together. Now think about this for a moment. The chief priests and the scribes, they were the Bible scholars. They knew the Bible. In fact, the Bible wasn't cut up like it is today in chapters and verses. And yet they were able to make a beeline for an obscure text back in the Old Testament written by Micah where it says, yes, the Messiah, the Christ, is going to come. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And they report back to the king. Yes, it says right here, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's says it right there. And off go the wise men. This is where the story gets very interesting to me and very applicable to you and I. You see, neither Herod or the priest and scribes did anything with the information they received. Think about this. If those scribes and those priests really believed that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, was born in Bethlehem, they would have put a GPS on those camels. They would have tailed those camels. They would surely have gone there. But he didn't believe it. In fact, he didn't go off in his killing spree in Bethlehem to kill who knows how many babies until he'd figure out he was tricked. Remember that? But neither he or even the scholars, who of all people, those who knew their Bibles, should have said, oh my goodness, we're off. Let's follow these guys. But there is no record. There isn't even a shred of evidence that they followed those magi. To them, they were just chasing a dream. Just chasing a dream. What a contrast. What a contrast these two groups are. That is Herod, chief priest and scribes, and the magi. Herod knew where to find the answers. And I'm thinking of some of you right now. You know where the answers are found. But like Herod, you don't want to pursue them. You don't mind somebody else pursuing them, but not you personally. And maybe you're even like those scholars and priests. Once you've pursued them and you've discovered them, that's where it ends. That's where it all just ends. You don't pursue. That doesn't make you a true worshiper. That makes you a false worshiper. To simply have knowledge of the Bible and not to have applied its truth, the truth of what Jesus did for you to your own heart and life, that's not true worship. That's false worship. The contrast is with these wise men. I mean, look at these wise men. They were great in their faith, 800 miles away. They had great perseverance to travel that long to seek out the Messiah, the one born king of the Jews. Great sacrifice. They give gold and frankincense and myrrh once they meet him. And great worship. They worship him. Proskuneo is the word for worship. It means to fall down. Literally picture somebody on their faces, and that's how they worshiped Jesus. And so tonight, as we enter fully into this Christmas season, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 says this, that he shall come, the virgin will conceive, bear a son, and you will call his name, say it, Emmanuel, which means what? It means God is with us. Jesus Christ is God. He is with us. He has come to us. Now, like the Magi, we must come to him. He has come to you. So now, like the Magi, you must come to him. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them God gave the right to become the children of God. Jesus said, he who comes to me, listen to these words, he who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. He has come to you. Will you go to him? I don't care how old you are. Some of you are well along in age and you don't know God. You know about him, like the scribes and priests. Or maybe you're more like Herod. Oh, you know, you're not out to kill God, like you'd be any better at it than Herod. But you're really pretty much opposed to everything about God. Well, that just makes you a false worshiper. But some of us are a little more like those scribes and Pharisees. You got a lot of knowledge, but you're sort of inoculated. Nothing happens with that knowledge. You don't do it. You hear the gospel. You've heard that Jesus came and lived this wonderful life and did all these great miracles and then died for you on the cross and then rose again. You've heard all of this, but you've never humbled your heart and gone to the one who came for you and received him as your Savior. What better night to do it than the night we celebrate his first advent? I share this poem every Christmas. Every Christmas I share this poem. Though Christ in Bethlehem 1,000 times be born, if he's not born in you, your life is still forlorn. Oh, would your heart but be a manger for his birth. Once more would God then come with peace upon the earth. Because he'll come into your heart. Your heart, which is at war with him, and he'll make peace through the blood of his son who came in the cradle to become a sacrifice on the cross. Will you receive him tonight? Will you make your heart his throne?